Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Well, hello, Dumpty Dummers everywhere. Nicholas Barnes from Vitel here. We're the company that provides, for absolutely no recompense at all, the telephone number you can call in and leave a message on. I just wanted to share with you a new feature we've added. You can now use the same telephone number to record a Dumpty Dum for the beginning of the show. It's clever, it's cool, and all the hip kids are doing it. Simply call 0203 031 3105 and follow the prompts. You'll hear my dulcet tones guiding you through the whole thing. And when it comes to record the Dumpty Dum, you'll hear it in your ear while you're singing, humming, instrumenting, or, well, however you're performing it yourself. It's that easy. Oh, and it can be anonymous too. Nobody has to know it's you. Go on, give it a try. 0203 031 3105.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Your Honor.
This is Dumpty Dum, sponsored by Managers.
It's Lydia. I have been asked by my friend Lexi to submit a Dumpty Dum on her behalf because she's at a bit of a loose end. So here we go. Dumpty Dum, de dum, de dum. Dumpty Dum, de da dum. Dumpty Dum, de dum, de dum. Dum de diddly dum. Dum de diddly, dum de diddly, dum de diddly dum. Dumpty Dum, de dum, de dum. Dum de diddly dum. Was that okay?
Well, when we get back over back to normal, okay. I am not over. But I was fond of Ava. She was around there for about 3 years. And she was good fun. But she had an impossible accent. I got a letter from an intelligence NCO officer in the last war, whose job it was to interview prisoners of war and decide if they were lying about what part of Germany they came from. And he wrote this very peppery letter. And he said many a would-be imposter paid for it when he said he was from Hexham, when in fact he was from Saxony. And as for your little au pair, she is not German. German is not her second language. I would say French. I would say Swiss French.
We've spoken before, and yeah. I told you in no uncertain terms that in effect, well, there's no in effect about it. I wouldn't be a fan of the Archers if it wasn't for you. And it was you going behind Sid's back with that terrible policeman.
Was the affair with Dave Barry.
It was. Let's start there, because that's actually my Archers vintage. I was completely and utterly dum-de-click. I was always switching off my radio when I heard that dreadful Archers music come on. And all of a sudden, you were smooching. And I thought, does this go on in the Archers?
It does. It did. No, we got all the letters at the time from all the teachers because they were struggling with SATs. And they were saying, how the hell do you find the time because her little red car was often found outside the police house because Dave Barry was a policeman. And the other thing that I find interesting about that is the vocal mixes. So you get a vocal mix between characters that can really work. And the thing about Kathy and Dave Barry was their voices were really good together. And I didn't particularly take to him. I'm sure he didn't particularly take to me. But that didn't actually matter because it was the sounds. And we had the whole thing about Sex and the Archers. Shall I tell about Sex and the Archers?
Yeah. Oh, please
do. I don't want to be boring if you've already covered all this.
There's nothing more steamy than Sex on the Radio.
Well, I you'll have gathered I'm pretty ancient now, but I was quite nubile then, and it was a long time ago. And in those days in Pebble Mill, the way you did sex was there were two chairs and a rather dirty duvet. Oh, it wasn't even a duvet, I think it was just a sheet. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're sort of, and you were kissing yourself. You're like, oh, Dave, I've been waiting to see you. And all that stuff. Right. So then the BBC invested in two chairs, £500 each, mm-hmm. which didn't squeak. So that was quite good. So then you were still going, oh, Dave, but you didn't squeak. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. One day, come in, there's a bed. And I'm saying, what's that for? And they say, well, you know, we're getting into stereo now. We want to get proper sounds. And I say, it's not in my contract, but I'll give it a go if you like. So now, next thing I know, this chap, who, as I say, he's perfectly nice, don't get me wrong, but he wasn't kind of, you know, and suddenly he's sort of throwing himself on me on the bed, you know, and I'm like, oh, I'd rather go back to the sheet. It's still the same sheet. So I just found it completely hilarious. And we were recording one time. And they said, there's a studio noise. We don't know what it is. We couldn't hear anything. So we've got to track this down. So it took about 20 minutes. And in the end, what it was the actor playing Dave Barry had leather trousers. And so when he was approaching the mic, he was slightly squeaky. it was brilliant. I loved it. So then you have to do a steamy sex scene after that. Preamble. So that was quite fun. The other thing that was hilarious was that my lovely Alan Devereux, who played Sid Perks and was her husband and ran the ball, he got into a sulk about this blooming bed. He said, I'm not going to do the bed thing. I said, Alan, I can't do. I'm at the head of the bed. He's sitting at the foot of the bed. And it's like those old black and white movies where you have to have one foot on the floor because he's sitting there. And I'm having to do all the duvet acting up at this end of the bed. And then the phone goes and I'm supposed to be answering a call to his daughter, Lucy. I can't get out of the bed in time. So I'm trying to catapult myself out of the bed to get to the phone. The whole thing about the bed. Anyway, they don't have the bed now. We don't have a bed. We have, it's a kind of sofa and it works. People can lie and sit and have duvets. And then the actual kissing was just so funny. Mm-hmm. So,
you go into the actual technique of kissing,
I launch into sex and kissing
because,
on radio.
Like, you did Sid, the policeman,
yes.
and you had a way with Kenton, right, as Kathy.
Yeah.
Am I missing anybody? Who else am I missing?
What? Who? Her lovers?
Yeah.
No, she only had Sid, Dave, and Kenton.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't promiscuous.
I always thought Kathy was rather stolid.
Oh, you know, she was really stolid. She's not like me. Well, there must be a little bit of me in it, and that's very scary. Because I actually modelled her on an old school friend of mine who was quite straight-laced. And I kept saying to them all, look, in theatre, I did comedy. I played comedy. My timing was comedy. That's what I have a feel for. I can do quite a range of maids and get laughs. So then I wind up with Kathy. And all that business with Jamie, I thought, this is awful. This is not the way I would treat a teenage lad going through the problems that Jamie was going through. So I did find all that quite hard. Yes, whatever I did, they resisted. I never, whenever I put in a joke, they took it out. If I could do a bit with inflections. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit you can do, but in the end, you do what's written and how you're directed. So what are you to do? And then, of course, you have this miserable time being raped. That didn't cheer up a lot.
Okay.
So she was a bit better after that. Sorry.
Let's go through, because we had a little bit of a text chat earlier today, and I said, tell us your most memorable storylines, the ones that you enjoyed playing. All right.
Yeah, so, that's really hard. because you enjoy most of them. But yeah.
Tell us about the breakup with Sid. Because I must admit, I actually missed. I've been listening to this ever since you had that affair, so mid-80s. But there were times when I kind of drifted a little, you know, whether college slightly got in the way or moving down to London or whatever. And the infamous shower scene with Sid and Jolene, I never actually heard that. It's something which I've heard post. So tell us about your breakup with Sid. And then let's go through the noughts with the rape, and then when you get together with Kenta. Let's go through those specific storylines.
Wow. Well, basically, Kathy had her affair with Dave, split up with Dave, and it was a year after that Sid discovered what had happened, and he chucked her out of the bull, and then they were reunited.
And it was Eddie that let the cat out.
There were splinters in the relationship. And then there was the affair. The moment you have an affair, you put hundreds of thousands on the omnibus. It's just a given. It's a very popular story. I can't think why. So Sid is having an affair with Jolene. Kathy doesn't know about it. The rest of the village begins to know about it. And then Eddie blurts it out in the bull, crowded bull, and he spills the beans. So Sid's supposed to have gone to a victualler's dinner. And in fact, he was going to Jolene's for something else. And so when he comes back, they were given, these two, these actors, the whole episode to do. It had not been done before, but it was Sid and Kathy for 14 and a bit minutes. Mm. And that was huge. And that was highly enjoyable and very challenging and difficult, very difficult. We had the graveyard shift. So you go into Pebble Mill or indeed the mailbox on a Sunday and there's nobody there. Obviously now that's for a reason. But then it was a very strange feel. It wasn't the normal bustling and seeing people and all the rest of it. So it was just us, Alan and myself and the director. And off we went. And yes, it was fun to play because it's rather fun to be outraged because someone's having an affair that you're in a relationship with. But equally, it was interesting because Kathy herself was hardly a saint. So it was quite a subtle, it was nicely written and it was quite a subtle thing to do. So yes, I thoroughly enjoyed that. It was good. And as I said to you, I do enjoy all my scenes with Pat. Because Pat and I are great friends in real life, so we like those nattery scenes that women enjoy, possibly more than men.
And that's one thing which us Archers fans were very upset about was when the Helen Rob storyline was reached crescendo and Pat had obviously discovered then what exactly was going on. Of course you would have turned to you because you're supposed to be her best mate.
It was quite ridiculous, but I think it was. I thought about it and I think, well, it might. I think the editor then was someone who didn't really get women's ways, didn't understand that for a lot of women listening, and indeed men, that those sort of chats which would give Pat a chance to put her feelings across in a less heightened area, because it wouldn't be in relation to Helen or Tony and all of that, just a chat that you would have with a female friend. She'd supported Kathy throughout her traumas. And I think there was a real sense of unreality about it. It wasn't, I don't think it was clever. I don't. But then, you know, you move on and life is full. So I'm up a tree and it's fine. It's beautiful blossom, you know.
Though you've moved on, it must have been very hard if you're number one for you to be written out.
I wasn't even written out.
Well, this is what I was going to say, you know, to be subtly pushed to one side and not even given a send off, you know, like a great storyline to exit. So that must rankle.
I'm hopeful that that will happen, but it's all been a bit set back by this business, obviously, of the coronavirus. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. Maybe it will change. But the idea was that we would sort this out because, to be fair, you know, Kathy, I played her since 1983. She's a staunch character. You got to do a bit better. You really do. Not just for her, but for other characters. I mean, Mike got written out, which was sad, but at least his was a finite situation. And also, I did contact the current editor. I said, I'm a bit, not resentful is the wrong word. She's becoming a joke. And poor old Kathy, she's not my best friend. I don't think I'd chat to her at a party. But I've lived with her now for a long time. I think she deserves a bit better. Yes, I do. So we'll see what will happen. Who knows?
So what we're going to do now is we're going to take a little bit of a pause, and hopefully this isn't going to go wrong. And we actually have two quizzes, not one, but two. And what we do, so if you have a pen and paper, everybody, at the end of this episode of Dum-de-dum-de-zoom, I will actually remember, because I didn't have time before, to give you the answers. Right. Yeah, I've completely forgot when we had Terry on.
Good old Terry.
I completely forgot to give him the answers, Edley. So we're going to start that. Number one, the first round is going to be the picture round, and then number two is going to be the Kathy Perks round. So I wonder how many of these.
I won't know anything. Right.
Well, there's a couple remember. There which I didn't actually know. All right, so let's see if this is going to work. All right, So you've got to, this is our pitch around, and this is either a person or a thing in The Archers. So what do you see here? There's like a thing on a chair, there's a domesticated animal, and there's a colourful thing over in the top left. So what is that?
And it could be a person or a thing.
Could be a person or a thing. Goodness, I forgot you're playing along as well, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
Well, it's not really aimed at you, but anyway. All right, so that is number one. That is number one. Number two, this is either a person or a thing. I did actually road test this, and the person I road tested with who's a big Archers fan, said, bloody hell. But worked out my thinking when I gave the answer. So if you know your history, you're going to be three quarters of the way there. Right, a bit of a head and a cute looking little human being. So who that or what is that Archer's thing? And then, oh, wait a minute, here we go. This is mentioned every now and then. Here's a little bit of a clue. So what do you see there?
The mind boggles.
All right, so that is our pitch around. You're in it for all this time. You had you had your best pal, Pat, who also played Pat.
Yes.
Who was the best? I was gonna say a bit of a naughty question, right? Who was your best director to work under, do you think?
Vanessa Whitburn. She was great.
Mm-hmm. Why Vanessa?
She knew everything about The Archer. She was very clear, very experienced. Inexperienced directors will, the worst thing you can ever do is say my line is, I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. And I say, I don't want to do it. And you get a director who'll say, no, you've got to say, I don't want to do it. And that kills any creativity, that kills any rhythm, that kills the scene. We will never get anything like that from Vanessa. Good directors will do two things. Either they will say, now look, what you're feeling there, tell me what you're thinking, and then you discuss it, if it's an important line. Or if it's one of those lines, you can sometimes get, you can't say it, it doesn't work. So what they do is they say, right, at that point, you can pick up a glass of water. So I might have been saying it just the way she didn't want it. You know, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And, all right, have some water. Okay. I don't want to do it, you know. So that works, doesn't it? Yeah. So she's full of all of that. No, she's very, very good indeed. Next,
how underprepared in hindsight do you think that you were when you first came into playing the Archers back in the late 70s? Considering how you developed.
It's terrifying. I overprepared. I mean, I've actually learned the script. And what that doesn't prepare you for is when they change it. So you've learned it. You get it fixed in your head. Oh, I'm going to say it like this. And then you've forgotten there's another actor who's going to say his or her line differently, which will affect the way you say your line. And then your best lines are always the ones they cut. So they just cut them out. So you think, oh, crow, that's another laugh line gone. And this very, very scary thing about this is these are household names. You know these names, you know their voices, and you go in and they're all chatting and it's all normal. And then you come in to do the read through, and they're all there. Mark, Arthur, Jethro, Dan, Doris, Shula, a lot of them, they're all there. And you haven't even started. You haven't got a voice. You haven't got a character. Who are you? And so you open your voice, you open your mouth in some trepidation and fear that you will be found out, that you're not going to be able to do this. So, yeah, that's scary. And I did that 3 times and it didn't get better. But, yeah, I'm much more relaxed now. And I would say to anybody starting to do radio, do not over-prepare your script, because by the time you've finished, hello, it will have changed. And you will be thrown, and you don't want that. I mean, Jazza, the actor who plays Jazza, as you know, is blind. He has to learn his script. He is, oh, we all love Jazza. Jazza and Tracy, we they're good.
Okay, let me ask you a question, which I've asked every Archer's actor, bar Tim, I don't think I asked this of Tim. The character of Jazza is such a fan favourite.
Yeah.
Why does he never get storylines? Why is he never the lead in a storyline?
Why is he not the lead? I think it's just the way it pans out.
But it can't be after, like, Jazza's been in it for almost 20 years. The character of Jazza's been in it for almost 20 years.
They tried with Fallon, you remember? He had a quite a big storyline with Fallon and Ed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was, in the mid-noughts, and they went off rave and they were taking drugs, and there was a little bit of a tryst between him and Fallon. But
I think his value is just as he is, because I always thought that within the Archers, you've got what I would call bread and butter characters. You've got your Shulas, your Carolines, your Cathys, and all of that. And then you've got the characters who are thrown into relief by the bread and butter ones, like Jazza, Linda, Tracy. You've got to have that steady center, and then you've got to have these odd characters coming in, and some of them develop, like clearly Linda has. And in a way, Jazza is almost like a mechanical, it's almost a Shakespearean mechanical from Midsummer Night's Dream. You know, he's there for seasoning, I think.
Do you think then that maybe the reason why they allowed your character to fade is because they didn't see you, they couldn't neatly compartmentalize exactly what you were bringing to it?
Oh, absolutely. And also, you have your sell-by date. If I was running the Archers, I wouldn't be necessarily...
But you know what? This is your time to shine, Hedley, but I'm going to disagree with you. Because the whole thing about the Archers, for me, is that it's supposed to ape real life. And people grow older. And, there's the character of Peggy's still in it after 60, 70 years, practically.
Yes, that's true. Right? That's
and true. The older actors aren't generally dispensed of. The producers and the writers know that a core demographic of fandom of the Archers are older listeners who want to hear older characters. So there is something very poetic about watching, but it's on radio, but it paints such a vivid picture in our minds. But there's something very poetic listening to a character go through the 3 stages of life, get married, get divorced, have kids, whatever, and age gracefully.
Yeah, but lovely, that's covered by other characters. How many of them do you want? How many elderly people do you want?
You. Because you brought me into this thing. You got snogging that policeman. I want you.
I could see a role for Kathy insofar as her experience. I think it's a shame she's never had a chat with Helen. I think that's a loose stitch they didn't pick up.
That's a very good point. Two rapes of
I think that... I think the issue with her young lad, Jamie, I think it would be really interesting to see what's happened to him. I also feel it's really sad if we have no Perks left, no Perks in the village, because they were core pretty early on in the history of the Archers. Mm-hmm. So to actually say goodbye to a whole family seems to me a little bit sad. But no, I like, don't take this the wrong way. I like the feel that younger people come up and they get a chance, like Tracy, like the young woman playing Tracy. Mm. I mean, I was that young woman many moons ago, and you've got to make way for different characters coming through. At the moment, for me, there is a few too many of them, and I don't get all the voices. And sometimes I find that annoying. And I get a great sense of relief when I'm hearing the voices that I'm used to. But then that's me as a listener. And other people will probably think differently and think, no, I want these fresh young voices. I would like some young love, young love. We always had a romantic couple. Where are they? I want a romantic couple. I don't want all doom and gloom. I don't want all rape and miseries. I would like the young romance and it going well and having some, I would like it genuinely centered in the character that you've created. The other thing they don't get is how long it takes to get people familiar with your character. It doesn't, you don't just come in and there it is. It takes time. You bed in. People live with you. I've had people, you know, who said, oh, I have my babies alongside when Kathy had her babies. And I've called them Jane, you know. And, you know, all this stuff. And I'm the same. You know, I'm still not adjusted to new Tom because the Tom I heard, the Tom I hear is still that Tom. And I love all that. I think that's part of loving soaps. I love Neighbours. I watch Neighbours. I absolutely adore it. It's hilarious. But that's another story. I love all that. So, yes. I want my average back a bit, I think.
All right. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to throw the floor open to anybody who wants to ask Hedley a question. Now, what you're going to have to do, because obviously I can't hear you, is you're going to have to wave. Now, I can only see about a third of you at any one point. So if you're so please wave. OK, I've got the first one. This is Pat Brown. Pat, go ahead. Hi. Ask your question.
Okay, well, there's two things. One, Hedley, many years ago, you phoned me. I picked up my phone and it was you, and I knew straight away it was Kathy. Because I think what? You ran, was it called the Archers Addicts or the
Archers? Archers Addicts, the fan club, yes. Yeah, yes, I did.
And I actually went to Birmingham for an anniversary. 60th?
That was our 60th anniversary celebrations in the National Indoor Arena.
Loads and loads of people. I know.
It was fabulous.
I sat at dinner. I had Jack Woolley.
Yes.
Who actually emceed it. He had a microphone and he talked to people. Jack Woolley. And then he came back and talked to us as Arnold.
Jack Woolley. Oh, Arnold Peters. Yeah.
Yes. And of course, had a completely different voice to Jack Woolley. And he changed between the two. It was amazing. Yeah. Honestly, it was the best weekend of my life.
It wasn't a National Indoor Arena thing, it was another event, yes.
It was in Birmingham.
Yes, it was up, yes.
Anyway, wherever it was.
Yeah.
And you know, you said about your blonde hair, and I met people there, and I knew what they looked like.
Yeah.
And some of them were fine, and some of them were not fine. And when I went back to listening, I still saw them how I saw them.
Yes, and I know, I do that.
That I knew.
No.
What I just wanted to add in was, Kathy, the night that Eddie said to Sid, you in the bar, if you want to know where Sid is, he's, shagging Jolene Rogers.
That was
the last line. That episode had also got, Joe hammering the ferret.
Yes, he killed ferrets.
I mean, I was on the motorway. I had to pull over. I was crying.
Kathy, it was.
We need you back, and we need Jamie. I want to know what's happening. We need you back. Put some pressure on.
Yeah.
Well, we'll put pressure on. Royfield, put some pressure on.
Me? I've got absolutely no influence. I can't even control the dum-de-dum listeners, let alone echelons of Archer's fandom.
Come on, that's harder.
That was a scandal.
So has anybody else got a question for our Hedley? Please wave. All right, here we go. Our resident psychotherapist over in the upper lower east west side. It's Lonnie Bihar, sometimes known as Witherspoon. Hello, mate.
Hi. Hey, how are you? Nice to meet you, Hedley. Good. I am a psychiatrist. You always say psychotherapist. I'm a psychiatrist.
You know, there is a difference.
I'm not clever enough to know the difference. Though there is, you know what? There is.
I earned some real excitement
going on here. Kay Goff is blowing you kisses and palpitating seeing you.
My question is, and Royfield actually touched upon it, in recent years, while Royfield described you as stolid, I would say that you were sad. You always appeared sad to me, and you were, and you channeled that, and so you were one of those voices that I didn't always enjoy hearing because of that sadness. So was that something that was very specific, that were you told that character was now a sad person?
No, it was basically the way she was written. So, and also the things that had happened to her. That description, that moment when so publicly you're told your husband is shagging, that's mortifying, and that cuts. And then she had the miserable time with Kenton. That didn't work. Then she got raped. Then she was a single parent. Sorry, I'm not sobbing. It's this blooming alien. So her trajectory is not, and then she had a baby late. She wasn't naturally maternal. She never liked being, the way they wrote her, so she never liked being, if it was me and I was living in a pub with somebody, I'd make the best of it and have a laugh. Not Kathy. Kathy droned on miserably about the smell of the smoke, the smell of the booze. She's a bore. She really irritated me. Yes, I think the sadness that you're hearing is the sadness that I felt about this character that I played for over 30 years. My alter ego, who is really a bit of a blight in some respects, but not to everybody, because other people will not hear her as the way you have, or indeed as the way I think I played her. So is that an answer? It's a kind of answer.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to now just impose the limelight on somebody now. Mr. Bear, I can see you down there in the West Country. So whether you have a question or not, you need to dream one up very quickly, sir, and fire it off to our Headley.
Hello, I'm under Yokel Bear.
Oh, there you are. Hello.
There you go. He's waving.
Hello. I didn't have a question, so you really have put me on the spot.
I have.
So let's play a game of current Archer's characters. Let's play shag, marry, or kill. Who would you want to shag? Who would you want to marry? Well, let's not say kill, because that's a bit wrong. Who would you kick in the shins?
Oh gosh, who would you marry? I like Robert, but he's a bit irritating at the moment, but I do like Robert. Yeah, you don't like him, do you?
That's harsh to say you don't like Robert. I think his reaction this week was so understandable, considering that he hasn't been burnt the way that Linda has, but he's gone through a terrible time watching the woman who he's loved for 40 odd years go through what she has, and to feel so powerless, and he just let rip all that frustration, all that powerlessness just came out. I thought it was incredibly well acted.
Yeah, you can understand that, but what I found hard to take last Sunday was that not just him, but the other jollies, this woman is clearly traumatised. She's only just got back. Lillian seemed to think she wants to be made a public display of, bearing in mind she's disfigured and she's coming to terms with that. I thought it was appalling. A woman who's disfigured, man too, obviously. But somebody like Linda, you wouldn't have publicly patrolled her into the village. So there, yaboo. Right, next.
Anybody else got a question? You have to wave so I can see. Okay, Louise Lombard, over to you.
Hi, Hedley. I completely agree with you about Kenton on Monday. I was walking my dog, listening on my headphones, and just said out loud in a park. Just going on to Kenton, I wondered, could you shed some light on his supposed attractiveness to women? Because, you know, you know, Lee, I just don't... I cringe every basically. Time is on. I just cringe to hear his voice.
Why?
I understand, how he can
say what he says.
It just doesn't.
Just before you answer that, Hedley, I must admit, I never believed that relationship. You and Kenton was such chalk and cheese. You know, he was Mr. Fun Time, Mr. Nothing Really Matters to Me. And for him to be with Kathy made absolutely no sense. But anyway, that's just me jumping in, as is my.
It could only have worked if she'd been a dominatrix. Then you'd have been fine. Unfortunately, we weren't prepared to go that far. Dear old Captain. Richard, who plays Captain, absolute sweetie. And he's very, very highly clever. He's Clement Attlee's grandson.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yes. And we had last because we'd hardly met and they wanted us to kiss.
And I was supposed to be the experienced radio actor. And I said, no, it's fine, just leave it with me. Because they were really into proper kissing, you know, not actually tongues, but not none of this bit. Oh, my God. So every time he came towards me, I turned my cheek away. So that didn't help. So I said, no, it could be fine on the take. We did the take. No, head turned away. So in the end, he said, right. And then we had the usual. So right, I'm going to put you in a Hedley lock. So he put me in a Hedley lock. And then he was allowed to kiss me on the cheek. The trouble is, it becomes to me a false reality, because when you're doing all this stuff, you're actually directing it towards the microphone because that's your listener, and you are you've got it in your head, and suddenly, you know, my Kenton is in my head. It's not Richard Attlee in a sweater and a pair of dungarees or whatever he was wearing, not dungarees, but you know what I mean. So I found that quite intrusive and funny. But Kenton is all right, but they have the same problem with Nigel. So you start off with a childish man, a childlike man, which has its own attractions, and then what do you do when he hits 50? We do know some men who are like that. I'm sure you do, I do. And usually they just get very drunk and very dull. But you can't have that, it's radio. So they do what they can. So, and really, as you can see with Jolene, Jolene has been pushed into the Kathy role because Jolene used to be far more sparky and interesting when she was having her affair with Sid. But now she's married to Kenton. She's having to act as a foil to Kenton. So she's having to be the serious one so he can be the tough one.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
just whilst we're here, Nina W, her family are a right pair of pranksters. Nina, you have to say something so everyone can actually see. I don't know if that's your partner or daughter. All of a sudden, they decide to have a sword fight behind. So
it's my husband and my daughter.
Right, brilliant.
Yes.
Getting rid of tensions. Good.
Yes. Well, I met you, Hedley, when I was the same age as my daughter is now. And I was a baby. No, I met you and you were absolutely lovely and you signed a program for me. And then when I was old enough to join the Archers Addict, you phoned
you
me
did.
Up as well. Yeah.
God, that's what I did all my life, phoning up people. Oh, lovely. Good. Yeah. And you're still enjoying it.
Oh yes, absolutely. Yeah, and I listen, and my parents listen, and my cousin listens.
It's a great connective thing, particularly now.
Anybody else got a question? I'm going to quickly go through the screens. Wave. Okay, so we've got Daniel Quirk. I'm unmuting you. Go for it, Daniel.
Hi. Well, I'm wanting to ask a question about the storyline with Philip what do you think about that? Modern slavery. Well, and the whole development, really, of the two of them as the characters together. Kirsty, it's quite a strange, you know, person, really. And then the whole film. So what's your take on that?
Well, I think there are a couple of things. I think one of the problems with a long-running soap series or drama series is that it's quite difficult to keep it. I mean, it's going to be 70 years old in 2021. 70 years. So you get different script writers. You get different editors. Mm. You bring in different characters and directors. So in a way, the only continuity you have are the actors themselves. But they are still subjected to the stories that are written. So for Kirsty, when Kirsty came in, her, do you remember the genetically modified crop saga? So that summer has slightly lost. Yeah. We've lost that with Kirsty. So there's a through thread for me that's missing. And then you've got a situation of how is it that Philip, with his lovely mellifluous tones, his reassuring accent, all these good, lovely things, has managed to hide, what's it, 40 years experience of essential slave traffic or whatever he's up to, which is not nice. Yes. Suddenly, abruptly, we have a Philip who is not what he seems. Mm. And when you compare that with the Rob and Helen storyline, you knew gradually before it seeped into consciousness, certainly Helen's consciousness, there was something seriously wrong with this man. Now, we've had no lead up or preamble with Philip. We hardly knew him. He was another boring man. You know, you get
Headley. You don't listen to Dum Dum Headley. I telegraphed the whole thing some time ago. However, there was a breadcrumb trail. With Philip, it's just it was incredible.
Not in terms of abusing his workers. There actually was.
He was dismissive about them. He was the fact that he didn't go to the Hogmanay thing. He lied about that, and he was dismissive twice on the phone to them. It was so subtly done. The signals, but they were there. But they were much more.
Yeah, sorry. Back to Danielle.
And I think I remember, I can't remember when, but I think it was 4 or 5 months ago, and there was the phone call and so on you're describing, and then it was suddenly just dropped away.
Okay.
Yeah, which was quite interesting. Now it's reared its head. But, you know, he does seem to be some sort of strange psychopath.
Well, he does because it's schizoid, isn't he? Because 1 minute he's working on their side, and then he's against their side. It's very uncomfortable.
But how a psychopath could quite work for as long as intentionally as Philip has had, is interesting.
I don't want to do the Witherspoon job here, but he's not a psychopath, he's a sociopath, isn't he? That he can present as being normal.
What is a sociopath? Love the word. What is it though, really?
Okay, let's go on to Mr. Spoon. Mr. Spoon? Crumbs. He's gone, right? He obviously had a client call.
He'd had enough.
Yeah, he obviously had enough. So Mr. Spoon has gone. There was another question. This was the gentleman, Rob, on his iPad. I'm unmuting you, sir.
Hi, Royfield. Thanks for that. Hi, Headley. We have actually met once before, about 30 years ago.
Where are you? I've lost you.
I'm here.
30 years ago, I was an embryo. Hello.
Yes, I have got my signed copy which you have signed.
Oh, the Book of the Angels.
Wow.
And when I knew you were on, I went and dug through it and opened up, and the first thing I saw, I don't know if anybody can see this, that's Susie Riddell.
Oh, Susie Riddell, of course, because what was she playing?
When she was playing Kate.
Was it Kate? No, Kate.
Yeah. Anyhow, what I was going to say, that was just an aside. Obviously, you're a listener. You know, everybody who's been picking through the wreckage at Gay Grables.
Yes.
You've been mentioned a few times.
I know.
Does that make you think, oh, the call's coming? Or do you, just...
I just think it's hilarious that you have a manager of a hotel that you don't hear who's apparently taking a register. I mean, I just find it very comic. But yes, no, she's got to be tidied up. She will be tidied up. Right. I'll tidy her up.
Well, looking forward to hearing from you again soon.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. We are rapidly approaching the hour mark. So if you want to ask a question, please wave away and I will come to you. All right. We've got Philippa G. Here you go, Philippa. You're on.
Thanks very much. Hi. I know I could be wrong, but I heard a rumour that if lockdown hadn't happened, there were some talks with you about getting back on the programme. Is that Can you confirm or deny?
Yeah, I mean, I was hopeful that Kathy would be resolved, but the lockdown has rather stymied everything, and maybe all those sort of plans will change. So there's nothing substantial, nothing firm. I would like her to finish properly. I really would. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm hopeful. Thank you. And thank you all very much for being here and for caring. It's lovely. And for listening, because we go, but I'm very, very fond of the Archers. And for a while I was quite obsessed when I was running the fan club as well. And I got to know so many of you. And that was what was special, because we work in a studio. We work in a very artificial environment. It's bizarre. And there we're creating this rural village, you know, with the trickling stream and all the rest of it. To actually meet listeners and to work, you know, to find out what it means for them, and for some it's fun, for some it's more serious. There are lonely people like I was at university who get it reassurance from listening to the Archers, and it was very, very special, really, really special. So this is nice, because I haven't done anything like this for a long time. You're all lovely.
There is one last question, and then we'll go on to our Kathy Perks quiz, and we'll see how many of those you get right, Hedley. And it's from my other podcasting wife, because I've got two, don't you know. There's Lucy, and then there is Claire, who I do Map Corner with. So Claire Asprey, Claire from Clapham, let's have your question.
Claire from Clapham. Hello, Claire from Clapham.
I don't know if you heard the Dumpty Dum special that Lucy did with a true crime Where is Kathy Perks? I wondered what you thought of it. And
I loved it.
With the Mad Woman in the Attic theory.
I absolutely thought it was brilliant. And she's so clever and so witty. And she'd gone to such trouble. I loved it. It was obviously food for my ego, but no, I just love the whole idea. I thought it was brilliant. Do you know her? Do you know Lucy?
I've met her. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she's good news, I think. She's good. I hope she does more of them. There are plenty of crimes in Ambridge. Brian,
So let's start to wind things down. We're going to have the second part of our Kathy Perks quiz. So I'm going to share my screen and let's go for it. So get your pen and paper out, folks, and let's go. Right, so Kathy Perks. What was the name of Kathy's stepdaughter? Was it number one, Linda, number two, Lucy, or number three, Lorraine? What was the name of Kathy's stepdaughter? Number one, Linda. Number two, Lucy. Number three, Lorraine. Here's question number one. Question number two. Where do Kathy and Jamie live?
I think I gave that away.
Yeah, you did, actually.
Number
one, Colonel Danby's barn. Number two, Honeysuckle Cottage. Number three, April Cottage. So where do Kathy and her son Jamie live? Number one, Colonel Danby's barn. Number two, Honeysuckle Cottage. Number three, April Cottage. Question number three. Which dastardly raped Kathy 2005?
He was very, very good.
Number one, Owen King. Number two, Clive Horobin. Number three, Sam Batten.
Sam.
Be interesting to see how many of these you get correct here, Hedley. No, so number
I've got one, right so far.
Owen King. Number two, Clive Horobin. Number three, Sam Batten. Who raped Kathy in 2005? Who didn't Hedley play on The Archers before landing the role of Kathy? So who didn't she play? Number one.
I've given away most of these.
Well, I listen. We're checking whether people actually been paying attention. That's what we're doing.
Oh, number one, Libby
Jones.
Yes.
Number two, Ava Lenz. Or number three, Lady Lavinia. Number one, Libby Jones. Number two, Ava Lenz. Or number three, Lady Lavinia. Who didn't she play before landing the part of Kathy? What was Kathy's maiden name? Was it number one, Kathy Holland? Number two, Kathy Hassett? And number three, who the heck knows?
These are too easy.
Let's read that again. What was Kathy's maiden name? Was it number one, Kathy Holland? Number two, Kathy Hassett? Or number three, who the heck knows? There you go. That the end of the quiz. We think, we hope, we're crossing our fingers and our thumbs and our legs and everything that can be crossed. And you're going to be back, aren't you, Hedley? You're at least going to be back just to say goodbye.
I think I should be back and killed off. I think we should have a murder. I think we should murder Kathy. That'd be quite good fun, wouldn't it?
Do you get a special actor's bonus if you get murdered?
Yes, yes. I'll have danger money after that bed bit. Bring in a real axe. Nay, that's not in my contract. Did they get all these answers right then?
Well, let's go through them. First, it was the picture round. So I'm going to share my screen again and let's go through them. So
I thought that was bonkers.
It was kind of bonkers, but kind of good.
I didn't understand your mind.
Well, I had quite a few emails about this, the picture round when we did it with Terry. So what are we looking at here, right?
Okay.
The top left, bunch of material, it's felt.
Rainbow.
Beneath it is a cat. What do cats do? They purr. And what
rainbow
is
purr.
Yeah, it's rainbow purr. That's good, but it's not correct. And over on the right, we have a sham pillow. Felpersham. Felpersham. Felt purr. Sham pillow. There you go.
That's awful. that's awful.
Thank you.
Right. Yeah, next.
All right. Next, so next one. Next one. We have, yes. And these are in no specific order necessarily, but we have a baby. Then, yes. If you know your Greek antiquity, you'll know that's Alexander the Great, which might give this away. And then there's a minus sign. Baby Xander. So the minus is Alexander Xander. I can see somebody nodding their head there. You got this, didn't you? Some people got that. They got baby Xander. All right, well
good.
Done.
Very good. No, that's
and then the last one, what are we seeing here? There's an arrow pointing down.
Yeah.
And there is a forest, or is it a wood? Two sets of wood, woods, underwoods. Everybody's going, I can see everybody's heads lolling to one side there. That was underwoods. Okay. And then we have, let's go on to our Kathy Burks quiz. Right. So why don't you just give us the answers? What was the name of your stepdaughter?
Lucy.
Sid's daughter. Yep. Okay.
That's right.
Where do Kathy and Jamie live?
April Cottage
is the correct answer. I'm seeing heads are nodding. People going, yeah, I got that. Nailed that one. Got that. And number three, who raped Kathy in 2005?
Owen King.
Who was the chef at Lower Loxley, wasn't it? No, Gay Grables. Gay Grables, sorry.
Gay Grables.
Yeah. And Sam was the cowman who almost had the affair with Ruth. Who didn't Hedley play on The Archers before landing the role of Kathy? Who didn't
Lady Lavinia. Lavinia in the conservatory with a candlestick.
Exactly. And then the last question, what was Kathy's maiden name? What was
nobody
your
knows.
Exactly, nobody knows. Yeah,
she was married to Steve Holland, who turned up in Ambridge and created Fuss.
Absolutely. I didn't know that nobody knew until today when I was in the research. And I thought, that's
a good question.
Great question. Yeah, it's like great Kathy fact. Well, everybody, that's been us. We've done an hour. I hope you've been right royally entertained. And I'm going to unmute you all now. So you can all, after three, basically say thank you to Hedley. Say thank you.
Thank you,
Hedley.
Thank you.
And give a round of applause. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for starting it. Brilliant.
Very much. Yeah, thank you,
Royfield. That's
absolutely
fine.
Yes, thank you,
Royfield. We have, in 2 weeks' time, we will be back and we will have Charlotte Martin, who plays Susan, who will be our guest on our special Zoom chat. So you've got your questions for Charlotte, who plays Susan. Kind of think about them now. Get more ruminating, in your mind so we can get that all done and out your system in 2 weeks' time. Thank you for being part of Dumpty Dum Does Zoom. Thank you, Hedley.
Thank you. And, love you all.
I'm listening. I'm listening intently to my radio as soon as the coronas are over because I want you back on.
Bye.
Bye-bye, everybody. Take care. Have a great evening. Stay safe. Bye-bye.